Hello, the Studies Show listeners. Stuart and I are trying something a bit different this time. We're going to do a short episode. We're going to try doing this a few times, yes. Mostly for paid subscribers, but we'll give this first one away for free. They'll be just irregular whenever we feel like it, and we'll still carry on doing the weekly normal episodes as normal.
Yeah, this is in addition to the normal episodes rather than a replacement. Yeah.
Exactly, this is totally bonus material.
But
like I say, we're going to do this first one for free, and we'd love to know your feedback, whether it's actually the sort of thing that you are at all interested in, or whether
basically there are some topics that we probably can't squeeze a whole hour out of, so we thought we'd do shorter ones because we do want to cover them, but we thought we'd do just a shorter episode and make it for the paid subscribers. So and obviously if you become a paid subscriber, you get access to the longer paid only episodes as well, but this is just a short one just to see how we get on, and we'll do a few of these and see what people think of it.
Yeah, if you just like really don't like it because it doesn't fill your commute or whatever, then let us know and we'll take that into account and make a decision further down the line. Anyway, so what's this going to be about, Stuart?
Well, you've done Tom, the first one, this was a request from a listener whose name I don't have in front of me currently.
We never do. I'm so sorry to the listener.
Which is not ideal. It's going to be about emotional intelligence. Now, this comes up all the time. People want us to talk about emotional intelligence, and they want us to talk about... It's from Ian. I was just looking it up, expertly looking it up while I was talking there. Ian asked us to cover emotional intelligence. So we're going to do it in this short episode because I think we could probably do a whole episode on intelligence generally, and then there's lots of weird things that people believe about intelligence. But emotional intelligence specifically is, I think there's fairly straightforward arguments that we can make there. So basically, this is one of a few psychological terms that has become... really sort of like a household, not household name, but like a household term, like, you know, like things like cognitive dissonance. That's something that started off in the psychology literature and people just use it normally now.
To think like things I don't want to think about because they're not very nice to think about.
Or like I can't have these two contradictory ideas and it causes me distress. Things like confirmation bias, the Dunning-Kruger effect people talk about, like for when someone is...
They all get that wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's maybe a whole episode in that, actually, because there's a whole replication attempt of that. And obviously, within education, you get stuff like growth mindset, which, again, is like a psychological term which has been popularized and become very popular. But emotional intelligence is one of those. And I mean, you've heard people talk about this.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. And but normally in a sort of, it's one of those terms, I think, like, remember we did the DEI episode, diversity and inclusion one, and that was very, you know, people were talking about microaggressions and things and sort of not really, just using them in a very, the term in a very informal way, not really ever thinking, maybe not even being aware that it's from academic literature and has a specific technical meaning. And that's what they mean. You know, emotional intelligence just means, oh no, they're very good at like reading people and knowing the right thing to say in certain situations. I don't think they know or they necessarily ever consider that there's some academic background to
it. I mean, it's kind of a weird thing because it partially comes from academia. I mean, it comes up in papers. I think it goes back as far as the 1960s, and then it's kind of in the idea of multiple intelligences in the 1980s, which is this theory by Howard Gardner, who's a psychologist at Harvard. So it kind of comes in there talking about inter and intrapersonal intelligence. But actually, it's actually a best-selling book in the 90s, 1995, that makes it like a massive concept. And sort of after that, it starts to become studied in the academic literature. So it kind of sort of comes from scientific literature and sort of comes from popularized stuff. And the book is Daniel Goleman's book called Emotional Intelligence, and the subtitle is Why It Can Matter More Than IQ. So already, even in the title of that, it's kind of like there's a comparison being made to IQ, almost like a sort of adversarial thing, although it kind of has the slightly couched term. It said like why it can matter more than IQ, not why it matters more than IQ. That's probably what it would be called these days.
Yeah, so people think this is a big, like, because I think you and I would say that people's intelligence as measured by IQ correlates quite well with their life success and things. So people think this matters in that way, that it's not that it actually affects people's life success.
And, you know, among variables that we measure in psychology, intelligence correlates with various measures of job success. Like, it has an okay, like minor to moderate correlation with these things, like quite a small number. It's not like this is the most important thing ever or anything like that. But it correlates. And so the question then is, like, does emotional intelligence also do the same? And when I've done talks on psychology, you know, if you mention intelligence stuff, it's very common that someone will put their hand up and say, what about emotional intelligence? You didn't mention emotional intelligence. So it's clearly something that people have in their minds. This sort of idea of, and the reason it would be useful is that understanding other people's emotions, understanding your own emotions, understanding the emotions of your team and being a leader and so on. You can see how that would be very helpful in the sort of occupational sort of context. Yeah. But the problem is whenever you bring in the occupational context, there's also lots of room for buzzwords and nonsense and fads and all sorts of stuff in a similar way that you get in education, where there's loads of sort of fads and psychology buzzwords going around.
Okay. I suppose my one question, two things, right? One, there is obviously some difference between people and their ability to read other people's emotions. I mean, to take a sort of extreme example, autistic people are sort of canonically meant to be less good at this, aren't they?
Right.
Reading. So, yes. And that's supposed to be on a spectrum. So it obviously does exist. I suppose the question is, is a thing we're describing worth calling intelligence, or is it? Yeah. Anyway.
I think there's a big thing about in emotional intelligence and in multiple intelligence is about taking the word intelligence and sort of, because that's one of the central variables that's studied in psychology or was, you know, through the 20th century, calling other things intelligence kind of gives them a little bit of that whatever scientific sounding or important sounding thing. So that's part of it. I think basically nobody would disagree that if you give someone an emotional intelligence test, and there are various different ones, some of which are self-report things that look a bit more like a personality test about how good you feel you are at judging people's emotions and all that sort of stuff. And some have a bit more of a kind of right or wrong component. Like, they're literally just like scenarios and stuff, and you have to try and work out what people are feeling in certain circumstances. And there's loads of different measures that people use. And those seem to correlate with job success, kind of, to some small degree. Again, like a small correlation. Like, people who are better at the tests tend to be better in job performance, and that's things like, you know, various measures of productivity, asking people's managers to rate how good they are at work, and things like that. So not just like self assessed how good you are at work, but actually some sort of, you know, external measure. So the big question then, the fundamental question, is, does the emotional intelligence stuff, as best as we can measure it, correlate with how well you do at work above and beyond the measures that we already have? So above and beyond intelligence, like IQ type intelligence, and above and beyond personality, like measured on a personality test. We had an episode on personality a few weeks ago.
So when you say above and beyond, let me get this straight in my head.
Yeah.
What you're saying is, imagine you had someone's IQ and the results of their personality test. Mm-hmm. Would you be able to predict their behavior or their success at work any better if you also had emotional thing?
Yeah. So say you got a point of, just to put things in like ultra simple terms, if you got, you know, 1 point of being better at predicting, like you got 1 point better if you know someone's IQ.
Yep.
And you get 1 point better at predicting if you know someone's personality. The question is, do you get any points above that if you know their emotional intelligence as well? Or is it really all just the same stuff? Is it really, you know, you can imagine that emotional intelligence is literally just a combination of IQ and personality, such that, you know, yes, it is a thing and it does predict people's job success, but it's nothing new compared to all these tests that we've known about for decades. Personality and IQ test. So that's one of the fundamental questions, aside from how do we actually measure emotional intelligence, and there are many different ways to measure it and they don't seem to correlate that well together, which is a bit worrying. that's one issue. But we just leave that one aside. But the question we want to cover is one of what the jargon term psychologists use is incremental validity. Like, do you get an increment better prediction from knowing this third thing, emotional intelligence, when you already know someone's cognitive intelligence, their IQ, and their personality. And that personality would maybe be like the big five. So like conscientiousness, agreeableness, neuroticism, things like that. These mm-hmm. these seem like they're important things in your job. If you're conscientious, that literally is, you know, you're working harder, you're finishing tasks that you start and things like that. Sounds important in a work context.
Yep.
So the proponents of emotional intelligence say, yes, we can predict above and beyond IQ and personality. And there's an interesting little debate letter. Remember in the when we did the episode on sperm count, there was this really good debate between scientists all within one paper. I love that. Great. When you find that, it's really very, very helpful because you get the case made on both sides and they sort of address the fundamental weaknesses in the opponent's position. And I love that. That's a really good way to kind of get an overview of a debate. So there's one of them for emotional intelligence. And the proponents of emotional intelligence argue that yes, indeed, you can argue that emotional intelligence gives you something extra. But the skeptics, and I have to say, there's some good quotes here, which I will make you read out. Some good quotes from the skeptics. They're psychologists. They're Peter Harms, Marcus Credet, and Dustin Wood, and they're like psychometricians, people who work on personality measures and that sort of stuff. So they point out several different things. First of all, they say that the studies on incremental validity are pretty small, and generally small studies will produce like noisier results, and it's hard to know whether they're reliable or not. A lot of them are done by students. This, for whatever reason, I guess people in like management schools and stuff are really interested in this. So when you do your undergrad in, you know, management or your MBA or whatever, you maybe will do a study on this, and it's quite small because students don't have many resources.
And
so if you look in the meta-analyses, which are done, a lot of the studies are like student projects and stuff, and they're probably just not that good in terms of quality. Sorry.
Yeah. But no offense to undergraduates everywhere, but then they're undergraduates.
Yeah. You don't have the resources of like someone who can go out and test thousands of people. There's also the statistical point that we know these things are correlated, right? We know that IQ, personality, and emotional intelligence, as measured on these emotional intelligence tests, they're all correlated together. And there's this like statistical phenomenon where if you put variables that are correlated together into a regression analysis where you're asking, like, controlling for IQ and personality, does emotional intelligence give you any more predictive validity? Weird things can happen, basically, when they're correlated together like that. And the way that you combine variables and the way that you combine different tests and stuff can have a big impact on how the results turn out. And it's explained in this letter. So if anyone's interested in that statistical point, they can dig in there. But basically, it can be very hard to interpret the statistics when the variables that you're putting in are correlated. Yeah, it's kind of, it's along those lines. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I don't know if anyone knows. I won't try and explain it in this because I can only ever understand it for about 10 minutes at a time. But
we could do a 20-minute episode on collider bias
is great.
It's quite a scary.
It's basically sort of the opposite of controlling for things, almost, or opposite of a confounder, where you make things look like there is a correlation by controlling for things when there isn't. Anyway, it's a mess. Yes, carry on. Sorry.
And then there's this point about even when the study looks like it's a decent size, actually, if you look into the details, they're often not very fair to the personality and the IQ measures. So they point out that in some of the studies that are often cited as saying like emotional intelligence matters and stuff, actually the personality measure is not very good. And if you had a better personality measure, things might look less good for emotional intelligence. So we found out that in the in the personality episode that we did a few weeks ago, personality tests often involve hundreds of questions to get a really good, varied
overview
of all the aspects of someone's personality. But in some of these studies, they give very, very brief, cursory measures of intelligence and of personality. And so you might expect that even if the emotional intelligence measure is not actually that particularly good, you might expect that it would still have it would predict some additional variation in, the job outcome. But actually, if you had a better measure of personality and IQ in the first place, that wouldn't happen. And so there's a good quote, which I will let you read out since I've been doing lots of talking.
Okay. And
this is from the Skeptics.
Particular accent you'd like me to do this in?
I think they're American, but everyone wants to hear your Jacob Rees-Mogg accent. So.
Okay. Studies using 10 self-report items to control for all of personality can no more prove the incremental validity of new constructs than blurry, low-resolution photos can prove the existence of Sasquatches in alien spaceships.
Yes.
So they're not convinced then.
Yeah, yeah. They're basically saying that psychologists are putting a bunch of variables into statistical models, and those variables are badly measured, so they're noisy, and they're kind of giving numbers because, as we were talking about recently when we talked about meta-analyses, these are just dumb statistical algorithms, right? You put variables into them and it'll give you numbers. Mm. But it's what they actually mean is the question. And what they're arguing in this is, if you've not measured your variables very well, like if I tried to measure your personality by just asking you 5 or 10 questions, that would not be a very good measure of your personality. If I ask you 100 questions, if I ask you 240 questions or whatever, you can then see how that'd be a better measure.
And the argument is that if you ask me a 10 question personality thing and make me do 5 like IQ type puzzles or whatever, IQ test type puzzles, and then you give me a big emotional intelligence test, and it turns out the emotional intelligence thing does better at predicting my personality than just the other two, then that's not really a surprise, because the other two things you made me do were crap. And
we're crap. It would be like measuring someone's, there are loads of different ways of measuring someone's social status, and you can do it in good or bad ways. A good way might be to measure like their income and their job classification as according to like sociologists' lists of job classifications. And a less good way would be to ask them like, how many cars do you own? And that would be like, that would correlate. Like, I'm sure that does correlate with social status in whatever sense. It relates to income and it relates to where you live and all that sort of stuff. But it's not as good a measure, clearly, as getting deeper, more detailed information on their income and all the other stuff. So just like any measure, if you measure it badly, you're going to miss out on stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
And so they kind of conclude with this very brutal quote, which is, a radical but not inaccurate appraisal of the field would be that there is no evidence for the validity of emotional intelligence, and there never will be, because there is no such thing as emotional intelligence. The idea of emotional intelligence as an intelligence was a marketing gimmick that was useful for commercial purposes, but simply went too far and oversimplified a complex system of psychological factors. It's highly unlikely that there is a core, higher order psychological factor that drives all emotional experiences, they say. Now, that is pretty scathing stuff.
Yeah. Well, I suppose they're really, I guess they're basically saying that what we call, what people call emotional intelligence is a combination of just being ordinarily intelligent and also being nice or something like that.
Which we pick up in personality studies, tests. Exactly. And so you can kind of like, you don't have to deny that there's such a thing as emotional intelligence. Like people who are good at understanding emotions tend to do better. That makes sense. Hmm. You would have to deny a lot of personal experience if that was the case. But it's just that psychologists have this kind of cottage industry of like crappy studies that attempt to measure it and trying to put like some actual data into this, but actually those studies are not very good and kind of fail to do justice to this interesting question of like, when do emotions matter and all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
I do have one other quote, which again I chuckled when I read this one in the paper. You can
okay, this
take this
me,
one.
Is it? All right, yeah, okay, yeah, that's good. Yeah. Emotions matter, but it is only with better measures and better theory that we will be able to come to a more complete understanding of when, why, and how much. Emotional intelligence, as we have known it, is like a magical fairy. It can appear beautiful, but it is sick, and if you stop clapping, it will die. It is time to stop clapping.
Imagine writing that in a scientific paper.
Yeah. That's brutal. So that one for the kids, that, you know. Yeah. Tinkerbell will die if you stop clapping. Yeah. Now stop clapping.
So, I mean, like, this is a big problem in psychology that the problem of measurement is a big deal. Whether it's psychiatric concepts, whether it's personality-based concepts, whether it's cognitive stuff, it's really hard to measure stuff in psychology. Lots of other fields of science too, but it's very hard to measure stuff. And there's a kind of inertia that you get into where you're like, oh, well, my supervisor used this questionnaire, and so I don't see why I shouldn't use it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of stops progress from being from being made. And anyway, if you go on and read that article, which I encourage anyone who's interested in emotional intelligence to do, the proponents come back and argue against it. Then the skeptics have another round. It's cool to see, you know, a debate like that. But I find the skeptics sort of more convincing that basically the field of emotional intelligence, the studies are really mushy, and the theory about it, exactly what it is really mushy, and the measurement is really mushy. And so even though a lot of people talk about this, actually we can't really say much scientifically that's very certain about it.
I can't claim any sort of specialist knowledge, but my impression or my sort of instinct on it has always been like, because people want to claim they like the sound of things being of intelligence, you know, but then it sounds sort of harder and more sort of respectable. And so they want to claim other things that people might be good at, like being nice to people, as a form of intelligence.
Actually, that's intelligence too. It's just as good.
As important. Whereas that you're really taking a concept and stretching it too far, you know, stretching it beyond the point of usefulness. And it's better just say some people are nice.
Yeah. And that can be important and worthwhile and good to know if you're recruiting people or whatever. And another thing, like predicting people's job success is one thing. Like, you have to ask, like, what is the point of all this? And one thing might be predicting who's going to be good at your, you know, if we developed a really good measure, you could give it to potential employees and it would work out who's good at it. But also, like, if we understand this concept, then maybe we can train people to be better at it. That would be another thing, and that would improve people's job performance, and that would be good. But I think we're miles off that, given the sort of, you know, mushiness of everything that we've talked about in this episode.
Yeah. So, okay. So, since this is a short episode, we won't keep this going any longer.
That's it.
But the long and the short of it is, therefore, emotional intelligence probably not a thing. Thanks very much for listening.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty much convinced by this. Have a look at the paper that's in the show notes. And that's the first one of these short episodes of the Study Show. And we will see you next time.
Yeah. Take care, guys. Bye bye.